CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, you also earn a ticket for one of our weekly raffle draws featuring prizes from local businesses including Old Farm Fine Foods, The Screening Room, Smokes Poutinerie, Studio 330, Tango Nuevo, Terra Natural Foods, The Toucan, The Wit, and YGK Thrift. Enjoy the benefits of donating. Give today via CFRC.ca.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Cataraqui on Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee land.
What's for lunch today?
Alphabet soup.
Soup, soup, soup. Alphabet soup.
I made it special.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
It's alphabet soup.
We call it alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup. Because we make it a lot with alphabet-shaped pasta.
The letters are now twice as big.
Whatever's fun. Little stars, little letters. Sometimes I will use...
Alligator, big, bear,
sea. Campbell's alphabet soup.
Soup from a can? Disgusting!
Today on the show, we have another very special guest. We're kind of continuing off from last week, and I've got the other half of Between Friends.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Sophia, this first album is by a band that hearing about them on the internet is almost inescapable, but I hadn't jumped into actually fully listening to their music until you brought this recommendation to me. Tell us about the first album of today's show.
Yeah, so today's album is going to be A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships by the 1975. This is their third record. I feel like they had their self-titled, and then one in 2016, and then this one came out in 2018.
You learn a couple things when you get smart.
I love this album. The 1975, like, for better or for worse, I say it is my favorite band. It kind of, like, it made me and my sister bond. We bonded over them. Me and my best friend met because of their music. And I feel like this album is just, like, the pinnacle of all their strengths as a band.
So this album, like I said, I was going into this as a complete sort of stranger to their world and their music. Mm-hmm. This album is a brief inquiry into online relationships.
Yeah.
Off the bat, what does that title, like, read to you?
Well, I feel like just like not, I don't know Matty Healy personally, but mm-hmm. just like following his career and his trajectory, I feel like he's so interested in how the internet shapes us and how we like are losing our humanity. Basically, yeah. What makes us kind of sincere and connect with each other. We're losing that in service of trying to always be correct all the time and get into fights online and defend ourselves and have all this perception of ourselves constantly for everyone to see. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this album came out when I was in like the 10th grade. Mm-hmm. And I was, when you're 16, you're like, whoa, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. But as I got older and I kept revisiting and revisiting the album, it just makes more sense and gets more relevant because as I get older, you know, start dating, like doing all this stuff, I feel like there is kind of a wall between people sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like this album kind of articulates that very well.
talking about this album in interviews, Matty Healy speaks about how online relationships, the first thing that jumps into your mind is like Tinder or sort of like relationships like that. Mm-hmm. But he's also talking about how like the people that view your Instagram story, like that's an online relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
One of his songs, I think it's I Couldn't Be More In Love, is I think we're going to play that. He says that it's about, it's a love song to his fans because it's very much like, I don't know you personally, but I love you.
Yeah.
Like we have that bond. And although like it is very much, there is like a parasocial kind of relationship to it. The person who's like at the other end of that relationship is part of that relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that's also what he's very interested in as an artist.
When we were planning out on doing this episode, you mentioned that the 1975 is your favorite band and you almost implied that it was like a guilty pleasure or something like
that.
Yeah,
I did.
And I get the sense that that's to do with their frontman, who we've been talking almost interchangeably with as if he is the band.
Yeah, the band himself. Matty, because I feel like he is just that face. Like you think of the 1975, you think of him, you think of his cigarette, you think of his sunglasses and a suit. Yeah, Matty Healy is just like, he is just a figure. I think for most of his career, he's just been known for embodying all these contradictions. Like he's very, he can get very sentimental and talk about sincerity and talk about his work. But then he also like is on podcasts with like alt-right, weird, meme, edgelord, like incel culture. And he's just such, he's such a weird figure because he's so involved in the internet and he's so knowledgeable of all these things. And then he uses the internet to just like drop every thought that comes out of his mind. And sometimes it's not the best thought. He should really just be quiet a little bit. Once he also kind of started dating Taylor Swift, they had that brief stint last summer or spring. He got thrust into like all this limelight and all these people knowing who he is that were originally not fans or didn't know him. And I feel like he just kind of said, he just says things without thinking about it. And then he hits all this backlash and he's like knows about all this backlash, but he still doesn't like apologize or do anything. And it's like, I don't think that he's necessarily like a bad person. I don't know him, but I feel like it's that idea of the celebrity. Like, what do you do as a celebrity? How do you interact with people? How do you interact with the internet? How do you establish those relationships when everything you do is kind of being watched, which I think is really interesting.
Very well put. The title of this album is lifted from the title of an essay, which I quickly read through before doing this episode. And it's kind of just going through how online relationships, as opposed to real life social relationships, mm-hmm. the kind of conventions of communicating are not fully established yet because it's such a new,
kind
of thing. So it's almost like hard to tell which relationships online are beneficial and which are harmful.
Exactly. That's actually a really good point. You've done your homework. That's crazy.
Another like common comparison that was made to this album when it came out was talking about OK Computer, people mm-hmm. saying it's the OK Computer for young millennials and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that comparison is interesting, like just because it's a sort of an album that's completely of the internet age.
Yeah, definitely. Where I think Radiohead's wasn't.
Of the computer age.
Of the computer age. Exactly. I feel like there's a few songs, like one song is like, The Man Who Married a Robot, the love theme. I think that's very mm-hmm. much a spiritual predecessor to OK Computer.
Yeah.
And there's like a kind of exit, like an outro to that song that's very reminiscent of like exit music for a film mm-hmm. from Radiohead. So I feel like it's just very interesting to try to make that comparison, especially because I don't really like Radiohead that much. Like, sorry, controversial. But I feel like it's good.
Change, but you're sat on a train again. Your memories are sceneries for things you said never really meant. You build it to a height to say goodbye because you know. It's your death, it won't happen to you. It happens to you from me and you. Friends, I'm pretending.
Sophia, final thoughts on A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships by the 1975.
I love this album. I think it's their best album. I think like Pitchfork also thinks it's their best album, which I don't think Pitchfork's the most like relevant thing to read, but I love reading them all the time. I think that it's fun. There's no skips. It also hits hard. And yeah, it's just, it's bonded me to people closest to me in my life, and I love it.
Okay, next up, we have an album that both of us really wanted to speak to each other about on this show, because it's one that has really dominated the indie music discourse this year. Yeah. It's going to be tough to find something new and interesting to say about this album, but we're going to try today. The next album is from 2024. It's McGee with Two Star and the Dream Police. Sophia, like almost at every opportunity that I've had to talk to somebody about music this year and recommend a release from this year, this is jumping right to the top of my head. Two Star and the Dream Police by McGee.
For sure.
What is it with this album?
I was just saying this before we went on air. It scratches an itch in my brain that I can't find anywhere else. Like there's bits and pieces of it in other songs and others of his influences, which is really cool. Like we mentioned, like a Phil Collins vibe, the Blue Nile, which is also one of my favorite bands. And it's like, when I listen to those artists, I really enjoy it. When I listen to McGee, it's like all of the things I love about each of those artists just come together in one.
There's something.
sugarcoat the truth. I didn't think it would shatter.
twisted. He said, she said, it's one of us for the best, for the best. One of us for the best, for the best. I've been driving, not arriving. Somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. Anywhere, anywhere, anywhere.
Of our neighborhood from the suicides of the Lisbon girls. People saw their clairvoyance in the wiped out elms and harsh sunlight. Some thought the tortures tearing the Lisbon girls pointed to a simple refusal to accept the world as it was handed down to them, so full of flaws. But the only thing we are certain of after all these years is the insufficiency of explanation.
Obviously, Doctor. You've never been a 13-year-old girl.
Time on, the Lisbon house began to change. Almost every day, and even when she wasn't keeping an eye on Cecilia, Lux would suntan on her towel, wearing a swimsuit that caused the knife sharpener to give her a 15-minute demonstration for free. The only reliable boy who got to know Lux was Trip Fontaine, who only 18 months before the suicides had emerged from baby fat, to the delight of girls and mothers alike. We'll be right back. anticipated it would be so drastic. The girls were pulled out of school and Mrs. Lisbon shut the house for maximum security isolation. The girls' only contact with the outside world was through the catalogs they ordered that started to fill the Lisbon's mailbox with pictures of high-end fashions and brochures for exotic vacations. Unable to go anywhere, the girls...
Noticing the silence, let's stick to trying.
Okay, so where do we start with this one, Jonah Yano and the Heavy Loop? We just talked about McGee, and this is like a natural next progression. The first thing that I thought of with this is that in the same way that we talked about McGee playing with the rock star or the rock archetypes, I think that Jonah is doing that a little bit with the jazz thing. You hear like the jazz instruments, the saxophone and the piano, like sprinkled like little dust over the top of all this music, but it's like also just got that mystical dreamlike sort of thing going through it. What were your first thoughts when you hit play on this?
Oh my gosh. It was like layers and layers of like, I'm picking out like so many different things happening. His voice also is so interesting. Like it's kind of this like raspy, high pitched, like growl, but it's also so sweet. And I feel like, yeah, like as like a person who's a big fan of McGee, I feel like this is the next step, the next section, like the next thing to like really like delve into. There's just so much going on. Again, like very atmospheric, but also in a completely different way, which I feel like is really interesting.
And I should mention that the McGee Joniano connection is not just in the sound of the music. They are friends in real life.
Yeah.
And I was even hearing that they met in Toronto at the Omar Apollo show. So it's just like, oh my God, like the indie music connections are all.
That is crazy. You were sending me pictures and I was like, they're just the two goats.
Yeah.
Two goats
Seriously.
In one room.
Jonah is originally from Japan, but then moved to Canada when he was young, and he's currently on tour through Canada, and then in 2025, he's going to be making his way to Japan to tour this album.
Nice.
And the song that really stuck out to me as the one that I have to put forward and was one of the original singles was Romance ESL, where he's talking about trying to find connection when you don't speak the language.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a very big thorough line in the three albums we've listened to, is this idea of connection and celebrity and trying to make your way and to get with other people, like not get with other people, but connect with other people.
Like trying to communicate when there's a barrier between you and other people, whether that barrier is the internet or a language, also kind of comes through in the sound of the albums where the vocals are heavily filtered or whispered or growled, like you said.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool when these sort of like lyrical or thematic things, like literally you can hear it maybe without even speaking the language.
Exactly. And it just kind of emphasizes that point, right? Of just how do we, like, we can share something together for a moment, even if we're not completely on the same plane of understanding. Like, through music, like, we'll be able to get to a certain level of understanding that we wouldn't through, like, the barrier of the internet or language or celebrity, which I feel like is really, really sick.
I'm watching how I speak. I don't want them noticing me. I'm from the outside. I don't want them to see my disguise. When the metro car fills up with eyes. Luckily I breathe between the words I speak. And long live the life that the spoken word casts a burning light. If you won't sell me, I'll say whatever I want. And if you won't sell me, well, I'll say. And if you won't sell me, I'll say whatever I want. And I'll go on and on till I can understand what I want. What a sweet relief. You invited me to stand and drink. Let's close both our eyes. Now picture what I'm saying. This world in your eyes. I'm not sure what I'm saying. Am I pronouncing it right? Coincidences speak. If you listen close and ask what they mean, and long live my life, and my spoken word casts a permanent light. If you won't sell me, I'll say whatever I want. And if you won't sell me, what I'll say. And if you won't sell me, I'll say whatever I want. And I'll go on and on till I can understand what I want.
There's so much there. I feel like it's literally like you're wrapping yourself up in a blanket. Mm-hmm. You're reading a book. Like, there's so much you can pay attention to, and you can also just get lost in it at the same time.
Yeah.
Like walking down a snowy street. Like, that's what I'd want to be listening to.
It's hard to even think about how Jonah Yano might be writing these songs, because they're like just, they make me think of just sort of like scattered little memories and like glimpses of dreams and stuff like that. It's all like so wishy-washy and abstract, which makes it like so re-listenable.
Exactly. I feel like, every time you listen to it, you'll get something new. I know I have. I listened to it a couple times preparing for this episode. And every time there's like a new song that I want to hit replay on again and again. Maybe not the last one because it is 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
But the rest of them for sure.
But we should mention that last song. The album itself is an hour long, and 30 minutes of that is tied up in that final song, which is this sort of long, like progressing ambient jazz thing with very, very minimal lyrics. This album, Jonah Yano and the Heavy Loop, I'm even having trouble like dissecting all of this, and I keep on like sort of digging into the different rabbit holes. You'll see on the cover in the bottom right, there's some Japanese text there, which translates to eternal return, which is like a philosophical concept about basically being stuck in a time loop. You mentioned the experience of listening to this without looking at the...
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this song's good. And then I was like going about my, like, I was making tea. I like went to the bathroom. I like did all this stuff. And I was like, this song is like still playing. I was like, what's going on? I look at my phone. I'm like 10 minutes into a 30 minute song. And I was like, oh, okay. But you know what? Like lyrically and thematically, you're talking about like being stuck in like a heavy loop. I feel like that's kind of what I felt like. I was like, the song again. It's still going. It's still going. I actually felt stuck. So as like an English major, the metaphorical resonance of that, it's so good.
Didn't know what I was waiting for. Absent the present, what a neighbor's for. A home can be hard to keep. Please give me understanding. If I make it back to set a guy's city, cause I need to find that joy I've known. It's just the way it goes. Will someone ask me how I feel? What's the worst I can say? It's true. Someone tell me what my name is for. At the very least, tell me what my shame is for. This peace can be hard to keep. Why don't I understand it? Is this the moment that my face is for? I'm finally finding the best of my. This fear must be hard to beat.
Sophia, final thoughts on Joni Yano and the heavy loop.
I want to thank you personally for showing it to me. It's so fun. I think it's going to definitely be on my radar for the upcoming winter. And yeah, I love it. So thanks.
Thank you, Sophia, for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
The other half of Between Friends, the other friend.
Yes, that's me. Please check us out Thursdays, 10 to 11 a.m. on CFRC 101.9.
Thank you for listening to Alphabet Soup. If you liked what you heard on today's show, be sure to tune in next week for more. If you'd like